Today on The Balanced Word, living under the direction of the Holy Spirit.
We live our lives under the compulsion of time. Jesus, he had been there before time. And sorry, he was always right on time with the Holy Spirit as God led him. But you better learn to adjust your life to his. How much healthier would we be if we got rid of calendars, schedules, appointments, clocks, and we just listened to the Holy Spirit and just did what he was leading us to do?
Wake up my soul, wake up early in the day, wake up my hands and the instrument I play, wake up my voice, let the world hear me say, you are worshiped and exalted here today.
From Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel in Aliso Viejo, this is The Balanced Word. We'll be joined by Pastor Dave Rolfe in a second. Dave is in the Gospel of John right now. In chapter 4, Jesus meets up with an unlikely person, a woman from Samaria. He would end up using her to reach an entire village. Pastor Dave is about to offer up some observations that flow from this fourth chapter of John.
A couple of things, observations I want to make that I think at this point, as we are learning about Jesus, as we are coming through the story of John, as he is describing what he describes later as, I told you these stories so that you could believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you would have life in his name. I want you to know this, and I want you to practice this. I want your life to change as a result of your exposure. So when we look at anything that's in the Gospel of John, we should ask ourselves, what does he want us to know and believe? How does he want us to live? Well, there are several things that just moving through, I'm going to try to move through as quickly as I can, but man, what a great story. First thing that I notice is he spends this time in a one-on-one conversation. In general, when you're the Messiah, and everybody wants to hear from you, it would seem to be very inefficient for you to give your time one-on-one with someone when you could go somewhere else and preach to multitudes. And a lot of times we think that way. We feel like, well, if I'm going to use my time, I want to maximize it. I want to be efficient. What Jesus did in talking to a woman one-on-one was incredibly inefficient. If we were organizing his life, we would say, you could spend less time than that and speak to multitudes. I know sometimes if I get invited to speak somewhere, and if they feel like it's a small group, and they want to apologize. And I just want to let you know, we're a small group. There might only be, you know, 8 people, as if, oh, well, then never mind. I don't want to do that. But Jesus, over and over again, we saw it last week with Nicodemus. We later see it with people like, you know, Zacchaeus, you know, person after person, a woman caught in adultery, a tax collector, you know, even Peter, after he had risen from the dead, goes walking off and talks. Over and over again, Jesus seemed to, if you collect everything that we learned about Jesus from his conversations that he had, like either one-on-one or when he took just a couple of disciples with him and then he talked to them about stuff, it's apparent that having real personal conversations were important to him. He wasn't about the crowds. More often than not, when there was a big crowd, he left to go hunt down one person. And that tells us something about him. He would really rather be one-on-one than to be in a position where he is the center of attention. It's just the way Jesus was. We see it over and over again through these Gospels. And it's a great reminder and a lesson for us as well that sometimes our most fruitful times are those times when we're just spending time with one person. But again, if all you do is spend time with one person, a lot of it's going to be wasted. He knew this was an opportunity. He was close to his Father. The Holy Spirit was speaking to him, and that's why he knew this is a strategic conversation for you to have. But I also am stunned, and this is true throughout the Gospels. Jesus had a lot to do in a short amount of time, and yet he was never in a hurry. He never seemed like he was rushed. He never seemed like he was, well, I got to be somewhere, I got to do something. We saw it in John chapter 2 when he went to the wedding 3 days late. We are slaves to the calendar and to the clock. And now with smartphones, we're slaves to everyone who knows our number. It's like, and they can't figure out, why didn't you answer? Then I'm like, well, just text me and I'll call you back when I have a chance. So that's a good way to find out somebody just texts you, call me. But see, we are slaves. We're hurrying all the time. Jesus was not in a hurry. Now, it's interesting because going through Samaria was a typical thing somebody would do if they were in a hurry. Was Jesus in a hurry to get to Galilee? Apparently not, because he ends up spending 2 more days there in Samaria. Not only that, it starts out, he goes to the well, nobody's there. If it was me and I thought, God wants you to go to the well, I would go to the well, look around, and go, okay, I'll have to go get water somewhere else. He sat there and he waited. He was tired, he was thirsty, but he waited. Jesus had no problem waiting. And then he talks to the woman, disciples come, this is a perfect excuse, so I gotta go, got the disciples here, I'm hungry. She leaves and goes into town. What if Jesus had decided, I think I gave her enough information. You know, they can come and find me if they want. It's a small country. But if he had left when his disciples wanted him to, then what happens? The woman goes into her village, Sychar, and she goes, there's this guy out here at the well. You got to see him. It's amazing. I think he's the Messiah. They're like, okay, fine. They come out there. There's nobody there. Thanks a lot. Did you imagine this? Did you notice if you could see through him? Had you been drinking? She looks like an idiot. And these guys would just go, okay, go back to their, because Jesus was willing to wait. And he waited there, and then whatever he had on his schedule, it didn't matter. Because they said, can you stay? And he stayed for a couple more days. If you're somewhere, and all of a sudden you found out you had to stay for 2 more days, what would that do to your life? If you're up in the snow and you get snowed in and you can't get out, I mean, that's a great blessing. But if you're just like, there's something for you to do, and it means now everything's backing up. My calendar's messed up. My alarms are going off. People are calling. Everybody's worried. People are used to me responding to emails, so if I don't respond to an email like the same day I get it, then the next email is, are you mad at me? Do you hate me? Do you think you're a big shot, too important to talk to me? But we live our lives under the compulsion of time. Jesus, he had been there before time. And sorry, he was always right on time with the Holy Spirit as God led him, but you better learn to adjust your life to his. How much healthier would we be if we got rid of calendars, schedules, appointments, clocks, and we just listened to the Holy Spirit and just did what he was leading us to do? John Corson always challenged me on this, because John would get up super early in the morning and go out and spend time with God, and that's when he would decide what he was going to do today. So no appointments mattered. Nothing that anyone wanted you to do mattered. It's like, I just want to hear what God wants me to do. That's kind of the way Jesus was. And he never seemed upset about it. In fact, he was completely at peace. And that's you'll never understand Jesus in your personal life until you understand, just because you have an emergency doesn't mean that means he has to show up and do what you want him to do. He's not in a hurry ever. As somebody has said, Jesus is the only minister I ever met who didn't have a Messiah complex. Every other minister has a Messiah complex. He was the Messiah, and he didn't have a Messiah complex. Another thing that interested me is that his approach to the lady was not about, you need what I have. His approach to her was, I need what you have. Could you please give me a drink? I'm thirsty. I think sometimes vulnerability can be a really powerful way to open up a connection with people. And we sometimes miss those kinds of opportunities to come to someone and say, you have something that I could use. is a way to open yourself up to someone in a way that they then are open to whatever it is that you want to say. Jesus didn't come to her and say, "So, you ever hear of the four spiritual laws? Or let me tell you five reasons why Samaritans are crazy. Or, you know, let me tell you why you're wrong and I'm right. Or, you know, you ever try to follow the Ten Commandments? Or, you know, hey, if you died tonight, do you know where you'd go tomorrow?" None of those great opening lines of witnessing to people. It's like, "Can you help me?" In life, one of the best ways to connect with people, and quite often, a good salesperson always knows this, by the way, you come to someone and you treat them like they have something to offer you, and not just their business. That you talk to, I read a book by a guy who was, he worked for the government, for the NSA, recruiting spies. And he talks about the way to get in with someone and connect with them and get their trust. And he said, he used an example. He said, "I'll go into a store and I'll go into the women's clothing department and I will say to a woman, 'You look like you really know about clothes. And my wife, I want to get her something really special. And I don't know. I have no idea." You know, and so, see, it does a couple things. For one thing, the woman knows you're not hitting on her because you're talking about your wife and how much you love her. But it also makes her feel like, "Well, I think I must be pretty put together today. I'm glad that I look like that." And he said, that's a perfect way to open a conversation with someone. To come up to a business guy and go, "You've been really successful. What can you tell me about how I'm doing ministry, for instance?" It's, you know, it's that perfect thing of like, "I have reasons to respect you." And that's what Jesus did. And he was the guy who really didn't need to do that at all. He could have magically made water materialize, but he deliberately was vulnerable. "I'm tired. I'm thirsty. Can you help me?" And it was such a perfect way to start a great conversation. And I think it's something that we sometimes just act like, "I've got it. You don't. You need to get what I have." And right away, that draws battle lines. To respect someone is a powerful way to connect with them. And not through a phony thing. Not like, "Oh, I can't lift this. Can you help me?" And, "Wow, you're so strong." No, just the truth is, every person in this world, you could receive something from them. And he did. He needed that. And so he acknowledged it. And I think the Holy Spirit led him to do that, too. That humility that he had. You see it a lot. He's letting people bless him, and that's pretty cool. I also think he's the most unconventional religious leader that you could imagine. He is the Messiah, but he is unconventionally the Messiah. He just didn't do what people thought he would do. He goes to Samaria alone to talk to a woman, a Samaritan woman. It's like, are you kidding me? What spiritual leader? I mean, the spiritual leaders in his day, they won't have anything to do with Samaria. They would never talk to a woman. They would certainly never be alone with a woman. It's like, who are you? And the disciples are like, don't you know what people will think? And he's like, you know what? I don't care what people think. I know I'm okay. I love what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 4, where he says, you know what? I don't let people judge me, and I don't even judge myself. I'll let God judge me. That is shocking to people today because they are so used to being judged. And Jesus was like, nah, I don't do that. It's not going to get in. I'm not going to do anything wrong. I'm not going to sin. But at the same time, I don't play by your rules. And this was something that over and over again with Jesus, it was shocking to people because he didn't act like you would think Messiah is supposed to act. And then as you look at this whole conversation he has about sowing and reaping, I don't have time to go into it extensively at this point, but he's letting the disciples know, you know what? Some people sow and other people reap. Everyone has a job to do. Your job might be sowing, your job might be reaping, but we need everyone working together to have a harvest. And so in this case, Jesus sowed, and he took the time to do it. Sowing isn't just throwing it out there. It's like he's waiting, he's working with this woman. She goes from seeing him as a Jew to addressing him as sir to then saying, I perceive you're a prophet. And then finally she sees him as the Messiah, That took time, just like planting. And he says, when these people get back out here from Samaria, you're going to get to reap. You're going to get to see the fruit of this, that which was planted. And then he says, and it's an amazing statement, look, the fields are white to harvest. It's time to harvest. As he told them, he goes, you guys know harvest isn't for another 4 months. So you're just waiting for harvest to come. He said, if you can look carefully, you will see harvest opportunities everywhere. And you need to go where the fields are white to harvest. Nobody would have thought, for a spiritual harvest, let's start at a lonely well in Samaria with a woman of questionable repute. No, who would do that? But it turned out, reaching that one woman, he reached a city, and he had a harvest. Meantime, there are people in Jerusalem just trying to preach to the Jews, and nothing's happening. In fact, he had been there, and they weren't really listening to him. He would go to Galilee, his hometown, and for the most part, they wouldn't listen to him. So it turns out, sometimes the harvest is going to happen in Samaria. And it's a lesson for all of us. We sometimes really laud people for just sticking with something, whether it's working or not, just slaving away for months and years, and like, wow, what faithfulness. Where when Jesus sent his disciples out, he goes, you go to a town, if they don't receive you, brush the dust off your foot and move on. I think this is one of the skills that we are the least capable of applying in our lives. Not don't quit. It's like, when do you quit? When is it time to make a move? But our job is to find out where the fields are white to harvest and to do those things that are profitable, to do those things that are paying off. And if you are in the right place, you will end up experiencing that the fields are always white to harvest. It's just white to harvest somewhere. And if you're not willing to move, you're not going to find out where it is that you are actually effective. And, you know, I also, Jesus saying to them, you know, they're like, don't you want to eat? And he goes, this is more important to me than food. I have meat you don't even know about. Because doing the will of my Father, reaching out to people in the name of my Father, is more important to me than feeding my stomach. And what a challenging lesson for all of us. That, you know, there's very few times when we forget to eat. There are other times when the only thing that gets us through what we're doing is thinking about the meal that's coming. Like, what's going to be next? When I start feeling like my life is pointless, all I can think about is eating something that might make me feel better. And it kind of works in the short term. But ultimately, I lose sight of that which is most important. I wonder how many of us are actually taking the time to interrupt the flow of our lives to reach out to somebody. If it's just a friend, to text them and say, hey, you doing okay? I'm praying for you. Or if it's to have a conversation that maybe you don't want to have, or to go play with kids when you have a lot of work to do or whatever. It's like, you know, are we willing to say this is that important? And so I just want to challenge you, what is it that eating is so important that you do it regularly, and there are other things that are way more important, but food is more important to you than that? Because no matter how busy you are, you usually manage to grab something to eat. This is a challenge to me. Food is important to me. It's never more important than when I'm really on right now I've been on a pretty good diet, and I'm doing well, and that feels good, but I'm not going to sit here and tell you for 1 minute that when I see a donut, it doesn't look good to me. It was like, it killed me last Sunday, and the kids are selling those donuts out there, and I was like, I would have given $500 for a donut. And I'm like, no, I'm not going to do it. But your stomach is a good way for you to gauge what matters, because food matters. And Jesus goes, there are things more important than that, that you ought to crave, that you ought to go, you know what? I haven't had a good conversation with someone in a while. I haven't shared about Jesus with someone in a while. Man, am I hungry for that? When do I desire that? Now, as Jesus talked to her and to the disciples, but with her, one of the things that really jumped out at me too is when he said, worship. You want to connect with God, but he said something that's shocking and radical to me. He said, worship isn't about a place. It's not about going to church. It's about a relationship at a spiritual level, a deep spiritual relationship with God. And that's what God wants. I mean, think about this for a month. God is looking for people to worship him. I'm looking for God, and there may be people here today who are like, yeah, man, I'm really looking, I'm really searching, I'm really seeking. Well, I'll tell you, somebody else who's seeking, it's God. He loves you. He wants to connect with you on the deepest level within your spirit. He is seeking for those to have that relationship with him. If you've never entered into a relationship with God, today is the day when you ought to do that. You might have come to church looking for God. Maybe not. Maybe you're just trying to make somebody happy, or it was the only way you could go to the Super Bowl party if you came to church beforehand. But I'll tell you what, he's been looking for you because he loves you. He wants to save you, and he wants to connect with you in a deep and a personal way. He has been searching for you, and he sees you right now. And if you feel something inside of you just going, oh, shoot, what if this is true? What if this is real? I challenge you to just give him a chance. You don't have to understand everything about him. He doesn't have to answer every question that you have. Just say, I don't know where I stand with you, but I believe you're looking for me. And I'm telling you right now, you found me today. I want you. I want your forgiveness. I want to connect with you on a deeper spiritual level. I need that kind of unconditional love. Just let him save you. Let him love you. Let him receive you. Tell him you caught me. You caught up with me today. And all the rest of us who have already received Jesus, when we partake, we're just going, yep, it comes back to this. You died for me. You love me unconditionally, and you want to give me life. You want to work in my life, and I want to let you. It's a good time just to confess for all the things that have happened in our lives that became more important than the things that really matter. It's a chance for all of us to start fresh and clean. And that's why we love celebrating the Lord's Supper, because we remember the only thing that ultimately matters in all of history is what he did for us.
You're listening to The Balanced Word with Pastor Dave Rolfe. As we go through the Gospel of John together, there may come a time when you'd like to hear a message again. You can do so rather easily at thebalancedword.com or call and request a CD copy at 949-362-7475. By the way, we're making this complete series in John available to you on a thumb drive for a donation of $10 or more. Go through this powerful gospel from start to finish with Pastor Dave. Again, call 949-362-7475 and we can help you with that. Please remember, it's your support that allows us to bring the teaching of God's Word to the radio every day. Thank you for standing with us. Again, we can be reached at 949-362-7475. Or you can make a donation and resource request online at thebalancedword.com. We'd like to invite you to visit us at Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel in Aliso Viejo. Pastor Dave Rolfe teaches most weekends, and you can hear him teach the Word Sunday morning at 8, 9:45, and 11:30. He always enjoys meeting his listeners, so please say hi after the service. Visit ccpacifichills.org for more information. Check out Pastor Dave's one-minute messages, a great way to start the day. You can listen to them at thebalancedword.com. Or watch them on Instagram or Facebook by following CC Pacific Hills. Here to wrap things up in a word of prayer, Pastor Dave once again.
Lord, thank you for giving yourself for us. Thanks for the beautiful example here in John 4. If you would come for a woman who had lived a life of failure, and you, it seemed like, had all the time in the world to talk with her, to interact with her. And then you chose to have your first missionary be a Samaritan woman who went to a Samaritan village, and your first revival to take place in what everybody else considered enemy territory. What a great reminder that is for us, that no place is out of reach, that the fields are white somewhere. Thank you for loving us. And for the people who, this is kind of new information, they've never thought of it this way, that you're looking for them, find them this morning. Help them to know they've been found. Their heart has been captured. And as they receive you, as they receive these elements, and as we all receive these elements, help us all to start over right here, right now. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
We'll tell you about a healing on the Sabbath. Next time on The Balanced Word as our study in John's Gospel continues. The Balanced Word is brought to you by Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel.
Wake up my soul. Wake up.